Jamie, you're the most experienced, the veteran here. Why don't you kick us off and tell us about the Medicast?
Okay, well, I'm Jamie Davis, the pod medic from the Medic Cast, and you can find all of that and all the shows I do over at MedicCast.com. And the Medic Cast has been around for a little over 7 years now, putting out a weekly podcast and talking about EMS issues and topics. I joke around saying if I haven't covered it, in the last 3 years and 300 and some episodes I've done, then it probably hasn't been something that's been all that important. But I'd like to think that I've covered the gamut of topics in EMS as they've come up and continue to try to do so. So that's me in a nutshell and my show.
And why did you start podcasting?
I started podcasting because there wasn't anybody else doing this at the time. When podcasting got started and I started listening to podcasts in early 2005, there were very few medical podcasts out there. There was one EMS podcast with John Bignell doing EMS Live, and that had really come over from streaming online radio. He just started adding an RSS feed to what he was already doing. But I was looking for something that covered some weekly tips. I really started the show to help keep myself fresh and my knowledge and skills, and that's how I started.
That's awesome background, Jamie. And at least not on my screen next to you is Jim Hoffman. Jim, tell us about your podcasting adventures.
I don't know about adventures, but I am the primary host for EMS Office Hours every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And I have a steady co-host of Josh Knapp who joins me. And we talk about pretty much anything that is like hot topic going on in the news and EMS, and to try to talk about things that come up on the ambulance with each other. And you know, when you're sitting in front of the truck, the things that come up, and you're sitting in your garage, the sort of talking points that come up, and we try to sort of drill down a little bit into those talking points. So that's my whole deal with that, and it's about usually about an hour show every week, and we have a live chat room, and people can call in live as well, toll-free, if they want to join in the conversation.
Awesome. What led you to your first episode?
I actually started using the podcasting format as a way to do interviews with other EMS personalities and build content for my primary websites, and then I just sort of started to really like it and felt that there was a need for a voice to sort of give voice to what the day-to-day paramedic or EMT wanted to hear about. So I started doing it more and more frequently. And then, of course, Greg, I did it with you for a little bit, and it just sort of became a weekly thing that I was enjoying and dedicated to. So kept going from there.
Excellent. And then continuing to the right, John Broyles. John?
God damn it.
Yes, sir.
I'll talk about the EMS Educast next, or are you ready to go?
Oh, I can go right now.
Okay, tell us about your podcast.
I am John Broyles from One Union 801, the webcast, which is done bi-weekly on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm the newbie of the bunch. I've been doing this for just a little over a year. In fact, next show is 1 year and 1 month. And I basically got started doing the show on a whim. It started with a post in Twitter saying, would anybody listen to a EMS 2.0/Chronicles of EMS webcast? And I got four of them replied, said yes. And about an hour later,
here you are.
That's when it kicked off.
And Jim, you're using Blog Talk Radio as well, right?
Yeah, I use Blog Talk Radio as the live. Okay. Platform for you, yeah.
All right, excellent. So I host the EMS Educast, and I should have looked up when we did our first episode, but I want to say it was I co-hosted with Rob Terrio and Bill Toon, and I think we did our first episode in February 2009. And before that, I had a little sort of niche podcast. I, like Jamie, had listened to EMSLive.com, and I thought, you know, this is a pretty interesting format, and I was the coordinator for a regional trauma advisory council, and I thought, you know, I could use this podcasting thing to do some local trauma education content for a real rural region of Wisconsin. And I started working with John Bignell as well to launch that, and then I was listening to the EMS Garage, and I sent Chris Montero an email, and I said, you should do some education topics. And he said, well, why don't you do an education podcast? Okay. And I think last night we recorded our 175th episode. So we continue to plug away here, creating content. It's a lot of fun talking with Rob and Bill every week. And before Bill was part of the team, Buck Ferris was a co-host. And we've just had a real blast going along here. So it's been a neat thing for me to get involved in. Jamie, how's podcasting different now than it was, say, 5 years ago when you started?
I don't know. I guess the biggest change for me has been making it into a commercial venture. That's been what I've seen. You know, there were a lot of podcasters that have come and gone in the last 7 or 8 years. A lot of shows that are you can still listen to, but you'll notice that they haven't put out a new program in you know, in some cases in years. But the other side of that is that the guys that are still around, you know, people like you, Greg, and Jim, and John, you know, a year is a big deal in podcasting, and I think that's awesome. All of that those shows have matured and become more professional, and they sound better. Their format has solidified and gelled. You know, if you listen to the first episode of the Medicast, it is nothing like the show is today. It was long, it was rambling, and it is a very different animal. I like to see the way that shows have changed over the years, keeping their same topic areas, but at the same time becoming, becoming much more stable in how they present the hosts. We all got better at what we do and developed some better interviewing tactics and skills, and that shows in the fact that our audiences continue to grow.
That's awesome. We'll have to get a link to that original episode in the show notes. How about that?
Okay, I'll get that for you. It's there. I don't hide it.
Yeah. I wonder. We maybe could put all of our first episodes in the show notes. It's interesting. Even that idea of I actually never listen to an episode again after I record it. I think part of it is just I don't have time. But then part of it is just like, I make it, and it's gone. Do you ever go back and listen to yourself, guys, and guess?
I do, but that's something I made myself do. I put out one episode a long time ago where I let something slip through that I really wish I hadn't, and just was shouting at my children and forgot to edit that part out. And because they were in the other room making too much noise, and I didn't realize it was there until somebody like emailed me about it and said, "Hey, you might want to go back and edit that part out."
At least you have that luxury. I mean, Jim and I, we do ours live, and like I just told Greg in the little chat bar here, I've been flying by the seat of my pants when I do the show. So if something happens, there's no backing out of it, no cutting it out. It's there.
Well, I actually edit my episodes if something very bad goes wrong. A few weeks ago, we had a couple of crank callers call into the show and say some racist remarks, and I had to go ahead and edit that out of the show. I had to go find a censorship tone online and plug it into where that went on. So, you know, it does, you know, I've actually done things where I've gone back to previous episodes and sort of edited some commentary, not where I've changed it, but where I said, you know, take a listen here to this exchange between me and so-and-so or between whoever, and, you know, see what they have to say about this topic. Sort of breathe new life into an older episode.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, I think, to do stuff like that, to circle people back to it. Jim, how do you think podcasting's changed in the last 5 years?
I think I'm along the same lines as Jamie. I think that there is those podcasters who have stayed and been consistent with the content and with the format and bettered their format and bettered their, you know, their production and how they interact with the guests and speakers and the microphone even, as opposed to the ones that have sort of dropped to the wayside where you don't. They're not putting out the consistent content any longer. And I think the technology's changed a little bit as well, where I think a lot of the software is out there now to make it much easier for people to start their own podcast and to be able to broadcast it in a lot of different venues. I mean, even something like this with Google Hangout, you've got it where it's on Google, it's on YouTube. You can pull the audio off of this and put this as just a plain audio podcast. So it just keeps growing the different sort of capabilities that are out there to have a voice. You know, it's just a matter of getting it in front of the audiences that we want to, you know, and sort of getting it in front of the people we want to listen to our message.
I think that's a good segue about, you know, one of the things I think our podcast, the EMS Educast, we have a pretty defined niche in just the title of the show that we're really trying to target EMS educators. Our tagline is by and for EMS educators. But as you guys think about your shows, who are you hoping is listening? Who's the audience you're trying to reach?
Well, I think from my standpoint, I try to reach a very broad audience. I'm not as tightly in a niche as you are, Greg. I reach for the general EMS audience. Because I try to provide some weekly news and commentary about things and some interviews or reviews of information that we might want to stay up to date on. And in doing so, try to cater to both the EMTBs and the paramedics out there, the supervisors and the trainees. And consequently, in my audience, I have about 20% of my audience is students, and the rest of them are providers at various levels.
Nice. How about you, John? You have an audience you're aiming for?
I'm aiming for EMS providers of all levels, all types. You know, I'll even be nice to nurses. Rarely. Especially ones that say ANC. Well, I'll boot those in a minute. But mine is basically the street-level provider. The ones who are out there every day, poking the line, taking your frequent flyer to Mother May I General. That's my intended audience.
Okay.
So the ones who do it every day.
How about you, Jim? You have a sense of who's listening? I think you're muted.
I think, there we go. Okay. Uh-huh. I believe I'm pretty much in the same mindset where I'm targeting a broader audience for EMS. Unlike like my main sites where I might be targeting more of the students or recertifying providers, I think when it comes to the podcast, I'm trying to target the broader EMS provider. I'm also trying to get the ones that are interested in EMS as a profession, the ones that are looking to change the way we do things, the ones that are interested in sort of getting the different opinions that are out there and trying to, come on board with their opinions so we can, you know, all sort of hash it out on the show and really give different points of view so that it's not just one guy sitting, you know, behind a desk someplace who's making decisions and stuff on their opinion, where it's more everybody gets a chance to sort of voice what they feel about whatever the topic might be. You know, I mean, we've had Tim Noonan on the show numerous times, and him and Josh butt heads a lot over the different ways that they might approach something. And, you know, it's just a matter of different points of view, and I think that that's where my show, I think, comes in. It gives people a chance to give their point of view, and whether or not who's listening to it and who's going to, you know, take that point of view and run with it, you know, you never know, you know. But it, I guess my goal is to hopefully that enough people give enough points of view that somebody out there is going to hear it, that that's the way the street provider wants things to be and feels things should be. Muted, Greg.
Ah, isn't it amazing that we've all been on hundreds of hours of calls and we still make this basic mistake of staying muted? I was just going to ask, I mean, the four of us are in the United States, and do you have a sense if you have many listeners there from outside of the United States?
I know, you know, I track my audience pretty carefully, and about 80 to 85% at any given time of my audience is in the United States. And then from there, the next biggest is Canada. Okay. Then it depends on each month. UK and Australia tend to flip-flop back and forth as next in line. And then it kind of goes from there into some very small dribs and drabs all over. But the interesting thing I find is that there doesn't seem to be a limit to how far this reaches. I have people that catch my show in parts of Africa that I would not think they have much of an internet connection. Uh-huh. Right. And yet, you know, they're emailing me religiously and saying, hey, you know, send me this, or can you get me... I just sent off a package of old EMS magazines I had sitting around that I hadn't gotten into the recycling, and sent them to this guy in Nairobi because he was hungry for this content. And, you know, that's just an example of where people are around the world. South Africa, Philippines, all over the place.
Okay. Either of you guys, Jim or John, ever have live callers that are calling from other countries?
I've had callers with accents, but I don't know where they were from. So I don't know. They could have been from England or something like that. I know that when they have callers, it's usually for, you know, something that I've been involved with them, so it's sort of pre-planned, you know, that they're an educator or EMS provider from another country, and I have it set up already that we're going to be talking about a specific topic, and that's when they jump on. So I'm mean sure to some be listeners the, from that might be, you know, from another country, from those episodes.
I don't mean to be the one that breaks this news to you, Jim, but you have an accent.
What?
Yeah.
Don't tell me that.
Yeah, that's a pretty rich New York accent there. Uh-huh. But maybe it's just me that is hearing that. John, how do you get ideas if you're going live every week or every 2 weeks? How do you get ideas for shows?
Basically, from what I see through social media, or maybe on EMS One or EMS World, it's like, oh, hey, wait a minute, that looks interesting. Mm-hmm. Or even somebody, I've been trying to get a couple people on and haven't heard back yet. And a couple of them were quite by accident that they ended up being a guest on my show. In fact, my, you know, just to give a plug for my show on the 22nd, you know, a gentleman who's writing a book, he posted on Twitter, and I'm like, you know, looking at his bio, I'm like, okay, paramedic, wrote a book. Hey, I'd like to be a guest on a small, insignificant podcast. I mean, compared to you guys, I am small and insignificant. But
I got you about 150 by 150 pixels right now. Same size as Jamie and Jim.
Okay. But, you know, a lot of times it's just luck, pure dumb luck.
How about you guys, Jim, you and Josh, how do you come up with show ideas?
A lot of times it's similar, where I'll pick something that seems to be a hot topic in social media or an article from Gems or something like that. If I see a lot of responses to the article, a lot of commentary on the article. Other times Josh and I sort of brainstorm back and forth, you know, try to get a list of topics up that we might present as a show. There are times that I come up with a show because I get an email from one of my members that, you know, talk about something, and I'll go ahead and create a show based on their email, you know, as something that seems that they seem to be passionate about. So it's they come from all different things, and some topics are surprisingly more popular than other ones that I think, you know, would be great. It's going to be a great, it's going to be a very popular show, and I'm going to get a lot of listeners to this episode, and I don't get anywhere near as many as I thought. But then other shows that I think where I'm not going to get all that many, I end up getting, you know, way more than I anticipated. So you never really know, you know, topic-wise, you know, so I just kind of, you know, go by what I think is going to be most popular. And, of course, I revisit stuff, you know, the spinal board and pain management is always popular to,
for sure,
to breathe life into every few months.
Yeah.
Jim, next time you do that, can you make sure that it's Tim and Josh? Because, flat honest, that is, those are my favorite parts of your show, when those two are going at it.
Yeah, sometimes they can get, you know, pretty
I have been tempted many animated. I've been tempted many times to call your show while they're going at it and just going, girls, you're both pretty. Jim's going to ask you both to the prom.
Yeah, yeah. And they're not going at it in a mean way. I just think it's a difference of opinion. I mean, Tim is very research-orientated, and Josh is more I guess passionate about the real world of what we deal with every day, you know, and it's sort of a balance that you have to kind of find. And I try to find that balance, but, you know, sometimes others don't like to compromise.
Hey, well, we're going to move out of that area. And Jamie, you mentioned earlier that you've made this a commercial venture. The podcasting is not just a hobby for you, but also business. And so I'm curious, especially as the sort of, as you look through the years, what are the organizations, the publishers or product vendors, equipment companies that have really stood up to support EMS podcasting and want to be part of this channel for connecting with EMS professionals?
Well, I think there's unfortunately only a few, but those that have really stepped up in a big way. I think mostly about right now about our current sponsor on the network for EMS, and that's EMSManager.net. They came in and said, we'd like to sponsor your shows for an entire year, and they're the first company to do that. And I am really tickled that they did that. Physiocontrol has been a sponsor of our podcast studio for the last couple of years at every conference we've gone to. And that's been a big deal, because without their rather substantial support, we could not afford to get to rent all the equipment and have the booth space and bring together the people that we need to bring together to make that happen. But because of that, we're able to cover an entire conference and basically podcast from one end of the conference to the other end of the conference nonstop. People are always amazed that we are able to pull that off, but it's because of the hard work of the podcasters and the generous support of companies like Physiocontrol. And then, you know, Zoll helped us out in the very beginning, and can't discount them. Charlotte and the gang at Zoll really stepped up to help the whole EMS 2.0 movement in the early days. And without them and their support in the beginning, I don't think a lot of what we do, at least from the standpoint of sponsorships, would be happening now. They're just a few. There are others out there. Rapid Deployment Products. I'm afraid I'm going to miss naming somebody, there are companies out there. I think Josh Knapp's Wantanu company, you know, and the EMS wrench, the oxygen wrench that he made, they've supported us off and on over the years. There's just a lot of great companies out there.
Yeah, when I think about products and connecting with podcasts, I think the opportunity is that to have an audience that's paying attention to something versus somebody that's just flipping through a magazine in a station or at home, but the audience is focused on some sort of content. And then I also feel like a relationship gets built between the audience and the host. To some degree, it's a one-way relationship that we're sharing, not only content but also sort of goings on with our lives with the audience. But we also have people that correspond with us, like you mentioned, fairly regularly, and so you have a chance to become a trusted voice. And I know that. There's been several times when you've sent emails and said, you know, such and such company is thinking about or wants to advertise on our podcast. You know, what do you guys think? And I've told you, you know, that's not a product that I feel like is a good fit for our audience. And we don't take on that advertising because I think part of it's because of the relationship we have with our audience. We don't want to waste their time.
And I feel the same way, Greg. You know, I think that that's an important part of it. I always, you know, if I hear from somebody, because I'm the managing director of the ProMed Network, so I have to pass on those requests. Mm-hmm. But I often try to, hold on, my screen went down. technical difficulties. Anyway, the thing that I find is that I have to pass that on, but I feel the same way. I will tell companies, when I'm interested in having them sponsor, that they need to understand this is a valued relationship I have with my audience. I value their time and their efforts in listening to me, and I don't want to discount that relationship for something other than a product or company that I believe in. And right. And you obviously feel the same way.
Well, I think this relationship we have with AlladTech and the EMS Manager product is fantastic, partly because it's a great product, it's a technology product. We've had the chance to meet many of the staff at AlladTech, and I mean, they're terrific people that care a lot about EMS and helping make life better for, especially for sort of managers and supervisors, that sort of middle management tier that gets stuck with the scheduling tasks. So that's just been terrific support from AlladTech.
Yeah, and I have to say, if you're listening to this, you're catching this show, head over and check out emsmanager.net. This is our shameless plug for them, but you know what? They've supported us and made it so that we can go to conferences and do the things we do on a monthly basis and pay our hosting bills or whatever the case may be. And in order to keep that coming in, we need our audience. Just go and check it out. EMSManager.net. Check out the product. It's a free trial over there. Sign up for the free demo. No one's going to hound after you. But you should really check this product out. If you are currently doing a paper schedule, or even if you're a provider that's getting a paper schedule from somebody, you're going to be amazed at what you could have access to right on your mobile phone. Check your schedule from anytime, anywhere. It's awesome. So check out emsmanager.net.
On top of the free training, free tech support, free software upgrades. I mean, the boss has really got to look at it. So go over to the suggestion box, get out your big old Sharpie marker, and say, go to emsmanager.net and tell them that you heard it from us.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. Thanks, guys. Jim, you've used podcasting in a commercial way as well. Is it a good pathway for you to help build a community or a network that sort of maybe then purchases memberships for your membership program? Does it feed in well?
Yeah, it definitely exposes the customers that I have from my primary sites, whether they're just a basic subscriber to my email list or they're part of the membership in some way. A lot of them don't know that I have the podcast, and then when they join, they get into that stream, and they become that level of member. They are exposed to the fact that I have the weekly podcast, you know, and that helps me. It sort of goes both ways, whether they are somebody who paid for a product or signed up for the email list, they'll get exposed to the podcast. And if they sign up for the podcast or they find me on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes or something like that, they find out about the membership sites. So it kind of goes both ways, you know, for it. You know, so I think sometimes the listeners and the members sort of pass each other sometimes going from one to the other. But they all end up sort of in the same in the same circle.
Yeah, excellent. So the conversation time we have scheduled is drawing to a close, and I want you to share, what do you think EMS podcasting is going to look like 5 years from now? You know, Jamie, you'll be on like episode 699, and Jim and John, you'll probably have both outlasted Blog Talk Radio or something at some point. What do you think it's going to look like in 5 years? Maybe we start with you, Jamie.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, you know, seeing all the things that have changed, just like we talked about this Hangout being a new relatively new technology that we're using, I'd like to see everybody move into video. Obviously, you can create video just doing a Google Hangout, and I think that's a great option to continue to create programming. All of my shows, my primary shows, have turned into both video and audio programs so that people can listen to the show, but I have a video version of the program, and hopefully I'd like to see more people go in that direction. I'd like to see more podcasts in living rooms. I think that's something we're going to see as smart TVs come out and your living room television can access channels like ours. Then they can listen, they can watch our shows, they can listen to our shows right there in their living room, right alongside the channels for NBC, ABC, Fox, and CBS. And that's exciting. That really is exciting, that we're going to be able to sit there right next to everybody else. And if someone wants to catch an EMS program, they'll be able to walk into their living room and do it. That's what I want to see.
Well, and 5 years from now, we might not have network television anymore either at the rate it's going. It'll be like 24 hours of continuous, terrible reality television programming. What about you, John? What do you think EMS podcasting might look like in 5 years?
I honestly can't even think that far ahead.
Okay.
I'm still trying to get a decent grasp on how to do it now, let alone try to think of what it's going to be like, you know, half a decade down the road. So it's going to be interesting, I know that much. But
yeah,
honestly, I can't even fathom where it would be.
How about you, Jim?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, Jamie's got, I think, a big chunk of it there, right? The video, I think, is where it's going to end up going. You know, you talk about the Google Hangouts. They're integrated with YouTube, and YouTube is looking to get into television. You know, I've got a few people that I bumped into on the street who have listened to the podcast on a Roku box from the ProBed network, and they discovered my show from that. You know, so I think that the video is going to be a much, much bigger, you know, factor in it, and that's something I want to try to do, is make it more video. I mean, things like Google Hangouts and all, where you can actually share your screen, and if you're talking about an article or even a sponsor for that matter, you can pull up their website or their you know, their advertisement, whatever, right there on the screen as you're talking about it, and let the viewer see, you know, right in front of them what it is you're talking about, and help hopefully engage them more by letting them see what it is that we're talking about, and not just hearing our voice. You know, and I think, like Jamie said, it's good to have both, because some people aren't going to have a television. They're going to be with their you know, their iPad or whatever, and be able just to listen to it via audio, but I think the video aspect of it, I think, is going to grow and grow and more and more. I'm actually trying to figure a way to simulcast the show on Google Hangout and on Blog Talk Radio at the same time if I can. I haven't quite figured out the technology on that yet, but I'm trying to figure that out, to give that a shot soon, I hope.
Yeah,
I think that out, let me know.
I think it's just impressive, like, how much you guys keep trying different things and different ways to record and distribute. We're essentially using the exact same process that we used 174 episodes ago with Skype and CallBurner and Audacity to do a bare minimum of editing. You know, I think in the near term, I think what's happening for the EMS Educast, at least, is because the audience is sort of naturally teachers and content creators, we have people approaching us that say, you know, I don't have the drive or the time to start my own podcast and build an audience, but I have some ideas for some episodes, and you know, and we're actually running this thing we call the EMS Educast Mini, where David Blevins and Brian Lilly are recording some content on their own, and then they're longtime listeners and show guests, and then we just drop it into the stream, the RSS feed, and make it available to our listeners that way. And I think what's going to become sort of inevitable for educators is that anytime you stand up to deliver, whether it be in a classroom, a lab, or a conference presentation, that the inclination will be, how do I record this so I can repurpose it or repost it or reshare it? You know, there's so much effort involved with preparing to teach for 1 hour and then teaching for 1 hour and only having 20 people benefit from that hour. It seems wasteful, and now that it's so easy to capture, edit, and distribute, I think it's pretty clear that people should be doing that. So I want to wrap up with each of us taking a moment and sharing where people that are either watching this or listening to this, how they can find us, not only our shows, but us online. How can listeners and viewers connect with you? And I'll start us off and say that it's the emseducast.com. We're also on the ProMed Network or iTunes. We welcome listeners to interact not only with us, but one another at facebook.com/emseducast. And probably personally, the social network that I'm most active with is Twitter. I'm at gfreeze, but also the Everyday EMS Tips blog, and you're welcome to try to connect with me on LinkedIn as well. So that's places to find me. John, how about you?
Well, the show's website is oneunion801thewebcast.com, which has the majority of our back episodes, at least the one since January. We're also on Facebook. Facebook.com/oneunion801thewebcast, and the show's Twitter is 1U801thewebcast.
Nice.
That's the best way to get a hold of us.
Okay, great. And Jim, how about your show and how to connect with you?
Well, we're at the podcast itself, and other content that is created throughout the week is over at emsofficehours.com. They can connect with the podcast show at facebook.com/EMS Office Hours. I'm on Twitter as well. I am at EMS Safe. And if you go to the podcast, to the main page on EMSOfficeHours.com, there is a graphic on the top of the page where you can click and join the live show any Sunday at 7 p.m.
Eastern Time, U.S. Eastern Time.
Eastern Time.
Right. Jamie, before I throw it to you to wrap this thing up, I just want to I think it's a good chance that people watching and listening to this are probably loyal listeners, and we really appreciate that. And if you're a new listener, first time coming across the four of us, please check out those shows. And the homework or the assignment for everybody is make sure you share our shows. Use things like Facebook or Twitter social sharing buttons, or just pass along a link or something you hear. I know you guys, your shows are set up so you can embed that audio. Put it up on your blog or your class website or in your department's intranet. Share these. This content, because really, you know, the effort's already been made to create it, and so we might as well get it out as widely as possible. So, Jamie, where can listeners find your show, connect with you, and then it's up to you to wrap this thing up tonight?
Well, you can find my shows, all of my shows, over at mediccast.com. That's basically where you can find everything. And you can also catch up with me on social media sites under the handle PodMedic, so PodMedic. And, of course, Facebook.com/MedicCast, and that's where you can find me for all of those things. And as I try to compete with my dog barking upstairs, I'll just go ahead and close everybody out. I want to thank Greg, Jim, and John. Make sure you check out their shows and all the great programs over at promednetwork.com. And I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. And the most important thing I want you all to remember is to stay safe by remembering Scene Safety, BSI.